All right, everyone, welcome to this month, May's episode of Stay Tuned, where we look into some of the movies that are coming out so you don't have to. So this month we got quite a few movies that we're going to be touching on, only one series. We're starting to slowly get into that blockbuster season. So for the next few months, it's going to be mostly movies because this is where Hollywood likes to release some of their biggest things. So let's get used to it for the next few months. Now, before we get into it, George, any o overall thoughts going into May?
I mean, there hasn't been a lot of things that really caught my interest this month, oddly enough. Usually May, you start to get some, like you said, some blockbusters or some interesting things. There's like one or two that I'm like interested in, but like I'm not like pumped for May. Like last month was pretty fruitful, I feel, for what we got from the cinemas and on TV.
Yeah, I think we even discussed it last month where we had quite a few movies where it was like, okay, we're gonna have to make a decision because there's almost every week there was a movie that we wanted to see.
Yeah.
And I
And
think
most weren't disappointing either.
I got through like half of them, I think, and was pretty satisfied. This month, you're right. There are some in here, but as a whole, I don't think it looks as promising as what last month was.
Yeah.
So. All right, well, with that, let's get into our first one here. And we have on the third coming out The Fall Guy. This is going to be an action comedy. The director of this is David Leitch or Leitch. I'm going to go with Leitch on this one. He directed Bullet Train, the Deadpool 2, Atomic Blonde. So he's got some good ones under his belt. This stars Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Aaron Taylor Johnson. And basically, the concept, it's about a stuntman who had to retire after a career-ending accident, and now he's tasked with tracking down a missing movie star, which proves to be a little more complicated mission than originally anticipated. Basically, he's gonna get himself into some shiznit on this. Now, this is based off an 80s show that followed a stuntman who moonlit as a bounty hunter when he wasn't working as a stuntman. Ryan Gosling he's always been good. And his comedic side, I feel though, it's really shining over the last year
Yeah.
or so. You know, between Barbie, his Saturday Night Live appearance, and what we're seeing here in The Fall Guy, I feel like the last year it's been, let's put a spotlight at Ryan Gosling's comedic chops because he's already established himself as a really highly skilled actor in different things. So it was like, let's show off his comedy. So I am a big fan of him, and I'm a big fan of Emily Blunt. So I'm gonna be there when this movie comes out. This looks like it's gonna be fun. A good mix of action and comedy, which we've seen this director pull off with some of his past projects like Deadpool and Bullet Train,
Yeah.
both movies that relied on comedy and on action. So the capability is there and the performers are there to make this a good one. What were your thoughts on this one?
I feel like we may have loosely talked about this one in the past. If I haven't, I'll mention again just in case. This is a movie that was supposed to be made like almost 10, 20 years ago. I think Mark Wahlberg was originally signed on to play the lead character, and just timing and other things obviously got away. I like certain aspects because I used to watch the show when I was a kid in the 80s. It was a typical thing. There's always this dude or many dudes who are going to save the day, like the A team and this guy and everything. It feels like it has some of that charm in it, which I really like. I saw that Lee Majors is supposed to be in the movie somewhere. He's the original Fall Guy. That for like us old heads, that's kind of a cool thing. I like there's little nuances that they're keeping to. Like it's still the same character. It's still Colt Seavers as the original character from the show. That's who he plays in the movie. Something I found interesting though is that in the original show, his like cousin or nephew, his relative was like his sidekick. His name was Howie. Howie is also the name of the actor who gets kidnapped, which is played by Taylor Johnson.
Does he become his sidekick at
That's
the
what I
end?
found interesting. It's like, so could this be like the beginnings of who he becomes? Like maybe he kind of likes being this hero, and then we can have a sequel where he is just a full-on bounty hunter and Taylor Johnson is just following him along. Like, I don't want to be an actor anymore. Like, I want to do this stuff too. This seems cool. I think there could be something really like really cool there and something awesome, especially with those two. Like they're both phenomenal actors. Taylor Johnson himself has proven that he's great at comedic acting with movies like Kick-Ass, and he was also on Money Train. So like I'm excited for what could possibly come from this movie. Never mind just the movie itself.
That's, I didn't even, I never watched the original show, so that's a good little tidbit to know, especially for, those who haven't and are going in and watching it. That would be a good way to play it out, kind of like a prequel, to the original, and go that route where this mission that he goes on, gets those adrenaline like juices going, where he's
Yeah.
like, oh, I like this. And then he becomes a moonlighting bounty hunter. So I kind of like that concept, even if it wasn't connected to the show. I kind of like that concept. Yeah, I feel this is gonna be another hit for Ken, and I think
Yeah.
it's gonna be a highly entertaining movie. I'm looking forward to watching this. Coming out also on that same weekend, on the Netflix side of things, we have a comedy called Unfrosted. This is directed by Jerry Seinfeld. I don't know if the audience ever heard of this Jerry
It's
Seinfeld, but he's
written
done
by
some
him too.
things. Yeah, he's done some things. But I think this is his first feature directing
I think so
debut.
too.
I think he's directed other things, shows here and there, but I think this is his first feature that he's done. So it's going to be interesting seeing him apply all the experience and stuff that he has on a feature film. So I am curious about that. But it stars, besides writing and directing it, Jerry Seinfeld stars in it. Hugh Grant, Melissa McCartney, Jim Gaffigan, Bill Burr, Maria Bacalov. I can keep going. It has a
It's
lot
a
of people.
ridiculous cast.
Jerry Seinfeld called a lot of favors in for this movie. He literally went through his Rolodex, because Jerry Seinfeld still uses a Rolodex, and he called everyone in there and was like, I'm making my first full feature film. Those favors you owed me, I'm cashing them in now. I need you in my movie. So this takes place in the 60s. Basically, two rival cereal brands, Kellogg's and Post. They're in competition. They're in the race to create, a pastry that will change the face of breakfast. It's Pop-Tarts. This movie is about the creation of Pop-Tarts. Let's just throw it out there. It's not a big spoiler. What were your thoughts on this one?
This gave me vibes at first of, do you ever see that movie on, I think it was Apple TV, The Beanie Bubble? Or I can't remember if it was Netflix or Apple, but it was pretty much like the origin of the Beanie Babies.
Oh no, I was thinking of The Bubble, the Netflix
Oh,
terrible
no,
movie during the pandemic.
no, this is the
Okay.
Beanie Bubble. It
Okay.
had Zach Galifianakis and
I do remember.
another person, I can't remember her name, but it had like that vibe of like, an origin story of this thing that you knew growing up, but it was more of a comedic take. At first, I felt that, but as the trailer progresses, it's like, oh no, this is full on parody mode. Like, I like that they're mirroring the whole like space race because it's around that same time with the space race
Yeah.
between us and Russia and everything and then the rest of the world. So they have that kind of dynamic and feel, especially when you see them talking to the president, played by Bill Burr, which is amazing. And it's just like, what are you guys doing over here? Like, almost get me that freaking breakfast food. And everything about it, I think it's really over the top and fun. I like there's so many comedians and comedic actors in it. Just like it's that idea of like you want to work with your friends, and whether it's a flop or not, you don't care because you had a good time playing with your friends and family. That's the kind of vibe I get from it. I don't expect anything great though, to be honest. I think there's gonna be some things that don't hit just because I got flashbacks of the B movie, and Jerry Seinfeld when it comes to this kind of stuff. He's great at being himself. It's just everything else he's not good at.
Yeah, the Breakfast Cold War. This looks ridiculous, but in a way that has me looking forward to watching it. That type of ridiculous. You have a lot of good comedy names involved in this, so you're gonna have a lot of jokes. It's probably gonna be an influx of jokes where, as you mentioned, some are gonna hit, not all are gonna hit. I feel as long as the movie doesn't try to take itself too serious, which it looks like it's not, it's going to be good. Not let's get the awards out good, but I got some good laughs. Good.
Yeah.
Something you could just kind of chill back and just know you're gonna, laugh a few times. There's gonna be some good jokes in there, but not something you're gonna go and talk to everyone like, oh my God, this movie was so amazing. You have to watch it. Like, this scene was so good. This is so good. It's more of like, you might get some quotes out of it. You might
Yeah.
remember back some scenes and kind of like chuckle to yourself. I feel like it has the potential to be that kind of good just because of the comedy star power that it has behind it. So, which we've talked many times, we don't get many consistent comedies like we did in the past. So everyone that at least hits is going to be beneficial for us.
Yeah.
But I do think this continues a trend that we've had over the last few years. There's been two trends that have slowly been elevating. It's been the remake video game, the video game adaptations trend. That's slowly going up and picking up steam. And then we've had a let's take an old popular product and make a movie around it. That over the last like 2 or 3 years has really picked up steam. Mention the Beanie Babies. We had a BlackBerry one. We had Tetris.
Tetris, the Flaming
In the yeah
Cheetos.
the Flamin' Cheetos.
Yeah.
So that's been another trend that's slowly been picking up steam. And here's another one that revolves around one of those products. So we're probably going to see even more than that. So I think I will be watching this. It's on Netflix too, so it's not costing you anything.
Yeah.
I think it's at least worth the watch because again, you have these comedic minds that are behind this. So it should at least be entertaining. Then on the 8th, going to the only TV show that we have for this month that's debuting new, we have Dark Matter coming on Apple TV. This is going to be like a sci-fi thriller. This stars Joel Egerton and Jennifer Connelly. Ooh, Jennifer Connelly. Basically, Joel's character, whose name Jason, is abducted into an alternate version of his life. And now he has to try to find a way to get back to his true life and family and save them from himself, which I'm assuming is another version of him. So we're kind of getting into that multiversal travel aspect of it with this one. I like the concept, a character waking up and nothing is what it was before. Like the people and the places he knows are there, but they're not the same. We've seen similar concepts, including the recent Apple TV show that I just finished called Constellation, and
Yeah,
that kind of adapts a similar concept of everything's the same, but this isn't my life. There's some changes to it, but that concept does always interest me because the psychological aspects a character has to go through dealing with that situation and that level of helplessness and how far they're willing to go when everyone thinks they're crazy but they know they're not crazy and their actual life and family is somewhere else and need to get there. I like that concept. And I think with Egerton and Connolly, I'm looking forward to see this interpretation of that concept. And off the trailer itself, it looks like it's going to be a good sci-fi thriller. What were your thoughts on this one?
yeah, no, I totally agree. There's moments where it really gave me like Inception vibes and even like Dark City vibes, just how things looked in the different you see him hopping through different areas, like through different multiverses and stuff. So it gave me those feels. There was a line in the trailer that popped up with Alice Braga, the his other wife that from his other dimension he ends up in, and she's just like, "What did you have that he never had that he would have wanted?" And then it goes over to his family, and I said out loud, I was just like, it was Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
He had Jennifer Connelly. It's like, no one was dreaming about you in the 80s, Alice Braga. You're wonderful, great actress, you look great, but you're not Jennifer Connelly.
You have Jennifer Connelly. You got to claw tooth and nail to get to
Yeah.
Jennifer Connelly.
Which I thought was kind of funny because that's what the trailer pans over to her. It doesn't pan over to her and the kid that they have. Like, you're
No.
like, he has a family. It's like, no, he has her.
Yeah.
But no, besides that little, thing, it does look cool. It looks like I like the darkness behind it. Like I said, there's going to be that emotional, mental aspect that he has to go through. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing that's going to really draw for me, at least, besides like some of the visuals that don't look bad. Again, Apple TV, we've been talking about this every month. They're kicking ass. They are not holding back with these stories and their stuff. I think this could be another really big win from them. I'm curious of how long they can stretch it out. Is this going to be a mini series, or is this going to be something that goes on for a while? Because this could easily go like the Quantum Leap kind of route. Because you see, there's a hallway of infinite doorways. This can take forever.
No, that is true. Apple TV, though, with the series, I feel one of the strengths that they have besides the quality of the series they're putting out is I haven't really, that I can recall, watched the series on Apple TV that felt like it overstayed its welcome. It always felt like the seasons were a good amount. Like with the Constellation one, like I believe it was like 8 episodes, maybe 9 episodes, and it felt right. And it felt like we got some conclusion while still leaving enough strings for the possibility of another season. But if another season doesn't happen, you kind of feel satisfied with what was concluded. And I feel like they do a good job of not overstaying their welcome. So I can see this being maybe an 8 to 10 episode series. On the 10th of May, we have Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Very long title. Action adventure for this one. This is directed by Wes Ball. He did the entire Maze Runner trilogy. It stars Freya Allen, Lydia Peckman, Owen Teague, and Kevin Durant. This is a continuation, basically, of the Matt Reeves created world, but it takes place many years after the Caesar character's reign, which is the main ape from the Matt Reeves trilogy that we saw. And at this point, humans have completely devolved into the animals, and apes fully control the world. And it follows a young ape that kind of questions what he's been taught about apes and humans, and kind of begins to rebel against this new world order and it's been established within this world. And that's the general concept of this. What were your thoughts on this one watching the trailer?
I'm a fan of the Planet of the Apes series in general. I grew up with the original one. I loved it as a kid. Amazing movie. Decent series. I like the Matt Reeves ones too. I think he freaking did an amazing job reinventing this world. It helped us forget about the Tim Burton one, which had its highlights. I'm not going to pretend like nothing good happened from it, but we're not raving about the one with Mark Wahlberg. This the one with that Matt Reeves created. That's a world that is we want to revisit over and over again. So I'm interested to see what a new director can do with this. I have learned some more things since the last time we talked about it. I now know that we're like 300 years in the future from Caesar's reign. There's now a dictator ape who has pretty much manipulated and used his teachings to kind of create this tyrannical force that's
I
kind
think
of
that's
messing
Kevin
up.
Durant's character.
Yes. And I think at some point he actually tortures and terrorizes some smaller colonies of the apes, hence why this main ape, Noah, I believe, is going on his journey to find out the truth. And we I know we had a conversation where the humans seemed like they weren't talking English. I saw a clip where they were talking English, so they haven't de-evolved that much. Because I know that was a complaint that I had, where it's just like it's only been a few hundred years. How are they not like regular humans? It doesn't make any sense. But it's like, no, they can talk. So it's like, okay, I little things that I had, there was like, oh, I don't know about this. I'm feeling more comfortable and I'm more excited to watch the movie now.
I've always found this the whole concept and world of Planet of the Apes very intriguing. So I am looking forward to kind of jumping back into that world. The CGI and the ape design in this looks great, and it did within the Matt Reeves series. So it's good that they're continuing that quality. We didn't get regression in the quality when it comes to the look of this. Because when you have a movie where apes are the dominant species and you're going to be mostly seeing apes, you got to make sure they look good because you're going to be seeing a lot of them. It isn't like there's one ape, and if he looks a little weird, whatever, that's one ape. You got many apes here. So they did a good job with the motion caption, the CGI that they did add onto it. So I am looking forward to this one. I really hope Wes nails it and kind of continues, because Matt Reeves' trilogy was one of those rare trilogies where every movie hits. You don't get that often in the grand scheme of franchises or movies that have trilogies. So if he can continue on there, Maybe we can make it four in a row or five in a row for this
Yeah.
series of quality. So I'm hoping for it. I will be watching this one. Coming also that same weekend, a little more lower key than this one is Tarot. Horror movie. This is dual directed by Anna Hallberg and Spencer Cohen. From what I saw, it looks like this is their first feature
Yeah, they've worked on a
in
lot of
general.
films together, but this is like their first big one.
Yeah. So and it stars, I'm gonna butcher this name, but
Yeah.
Avatika Vandanapu,
Yeah,
Jacob Batalon, and Larson Thompson. Probably the most recognizable face in there is the kid, it's from Spider-Man, right?
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the guy in the chair is in this. That's the most recognizable face in this. But basically the concept of it is friends unwillingly unleash an unspeakable evil trapped within the cursed deck of tarot cards. One by one, they come face to face with fate ranging against death to escape the future foretold in their readings. Sounds very ominous on this one. Watching the trailer, there was nothing really that stood out to get me excited. Recent movies like Talk to Me and older movies like 13 Ghosts kind of came to mind as I was watching it. There's
So
some
better movies.
similarities. Yeah, and some of the similarities and these concepts. Nothing in the trailer seemed creepy, which isn't great when you're a horror movie. And I just got a sense that this movie might be one of those that heavily relies on jump scares more than actual atmosphere, tension, and storytelling. I could be wrong. It's just the impression I got off the trailer. I most likely will be waiting until this goes to streaming. I'll check it out because it's a horror movie,
Yeah.
but nothing about this got me excited. It might be one of the ones that after we record this, I'll forget about until it pops up on streaming. I'm like, oh, I remember that one. Let me check it out. What about you? What are your
Yeah,
thoughts?
it definitely gave me like every other Blumhouse movie vibe, pretty much. Like it made me think of that other movie, was it Truth or Dare or something like that? You know what I'm talking about?
True for there. There's also the countdown,
Yeah, movies like
like
that.
that
That's
whole.
what it felt like. So I was just like nothing, like you said, nothing jumps out at you. The one thing that was a scare was a jump scare where like she's looking at the card goes down, and the image she saw on the card comes to life and it's in front of her. It's like, okay, I've seen that 1,000 times, whatever. Which is too bad. I think there could be something really cool here in concept, because when you see the cards hint towards how they could die. I think there could have been, there could be, I should say, not could have. Like almost a good Final Destination kind of feel to it, where it's just like, all right, the card was drawn on you. You're gonna die no matter what. And just seeing maybe the path of how they're gonna die, it's like, no matter how you try to avoid it, it's gonna get you. It's gonna happen. So there could be something cool there. I just don't see it happening from what the trailer showed us. The trailer showed some deaths, and it's like, all right, this is pretty direct. I don't care. The only scene that looked maybe the coolest in concept was that car scene, where like you see the car's like sensors going off because of like the entity is like around that side of the car. And
Which we got with that Netflix Sandra Bullock movie,
oh, the Bird Box.
Bird Box.
Okay,
Yeah,
so it's not even original. So yeah, I didn't
which we
watch
got in
Bird
that one when
Box.
they go to the supermarket and they since they can't like see. I think there was like the sound. We've seen that one in movies
Okay, yeah, so see, that's not
before.
even original. There we go. It's like
So I did realize that we did skip one from the week before that comes out on the 3rd, and it's a psychological horror thriller. This called I Saw the TV Glow. This is directed by James Scobrun. The recognizable movie out of her filmography is We're All Going to the World's Fair. I never watched it myself, but I know that movie did build a little bit of a following. It was a low-key movie. It stars Justin Smith, Phoebe Bridgers, and a name I haven't seen or heard in a long time, Fred Durst, Mr. Limp Bizkit.
I saw that too.
It's in
Yeah,
this.
I saw
It's in this movie. Probably not one of the major characters in here, but I saw Fred Durst. I'm like, I
he's
need to
low on the
mention
cast
this.
list. He is low on the cast list, but
I'm
his
like,
name stuck out.
I saw Fred Durst. I was like, oh, I missed the nookie. That's cool. So the whole idea of this is you have a classmate introduces a teenage Owen to a mysterious late night TV show that's a vision of a supernatural world beneath their own. And as they watch, their reality kind of starts to crack. And you seem to get some blending in. It seems like to be one of those movies of what is real, what is not real, is it in their head, is this really happening? It seems like gonna be one of those movies that's kind of play with that. It's an A24, so I'm gonna give it a chance. It does look intriguing. It looks like it's gonna be very trippy and weird. It kind of feels, and I don't know if it felt the same way for you, it kind of feels like something you'll see as part of an anthology, kind of like
Oh,
a VHS or something like that, or the Cabinet of Curiosity. It kind of gave me that feel with it. So this could be one of the ones that I think it's going to come down to whether the mystery of what is happening is done well enough to keep you hooked, because it looks like it's going to be slower paced, a movie that's going to have that's going to rely on buildup and that fusion. And I don't say confusing in a negative way. Fusion for the viewer of, making you feel how the characters, the feeling of what is real and what is not. When that's executed correctly, it can keep you engaged in a movie, even if the pace is slower and you're building up. But if you're the audience is not getting that confusion or being able to relate with the character in that, I feel like sometimes movies with this concept feel like a draw, like very drawn out, because you're not in it with them. What were your thoughts on this one?
This is one of those movies that looks really kind of zany. Like, there's gonna be a lot of artistic freedoms used in this. Like, this is like an art house film, it feels like. This is not gonna be the movie I go to. It's like the big AMC theater to watch. I'm going to the little theater to watch this movie. I'm questioning how this is gonna play out, because when you see the trailer, you see, like, I want to say three stages of Justice Smith's life. Like, you see him as a younger kid, which is played by a different actor. Like, when him and the girl are first, like, getting to become friends and watching their favorite show together, and then they're teenagers in high school, and now their relationship is in a weird state where, like, you can see he's fallen for her, but she doesn't like boys, so it's not going to work out. And then she disappears, and then he's just on his journey of, like, trying to find her. And at one point we see him, he's old, like, he's got like a balding scalp and everything, which, like, the makeup that they put on him to make him look old, kind of
We could have done
janky.
better.
Yeah, and it looks like he's working like as a carny kind of guy, like at a carnival or whatever. Can't really tell, but like, it looks like it's really traveling through his life cycle, and what how he deals with this loss. So I'm really curious of, like, how they're gonna handle that. That really caught my interest, honestly, was that part of, like, oh, this isn't just like him in high school trying to find out something. It's like, this is his life, and this is really affecting him. And that's what, like you had said, is this real? What is real in this? Like, it really questions all of that. Are they think they're a part of this TV series, and this TV series is more than what it seems? Like, maybe they're the characters, like all these things. There's full of layers and stuff like that. Like, this is going to be like one of those heavy thinker kind of films, I think.
Moving on to the next movie on the 17th, we have the fantasy comedy If. This stars, well, it's directed by John Krasinski, who has also directed the Quiet Place, both of them. He's also stars John Krasinski. It stars Ryan Reynolds, Emily Blunt, Steve Carell, Awkwafina, Kaylee Fleming, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
There's a lot more. Kind of like Unfrosted. This is a big name cast. There's a lot of people in there that are, recognizable. In this, basically after the discovery that this girl can see everyone's imaginary friend, the girl embarks on a magical adventure to reconnect forgotten imaginary friends with their kids. This looks like it's going to be a good family film. Movie concepts many times, in pairs, and we've talked about this. We had a whole episode on this, when you look at movie history. And this is another example. This is the second movie coming out this year that revolves around imaginary friends. This has the in my opinion, the cast in place and the concept to make it fun and funny.
Yeah.
So I think I'll be checking it out. It looks like it's gonna be a good movie for kids and for adults in general. So I'll take a look. What about you? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm a Ryan Reynolds fan. I pretty much watch anything he does, you know. I think this is definitely a good another good vehicle for him. It there's not many other people I think who can carry a film like this. When you think like how this was made, you know, it's just him and the girl. Like when they're filming this, everything else has to be filled in later on with CG characters and everything. So not many people can do what he does, where he can just play off himself. He doesn't need anyone around him to do what he does.
Give him a mirror, you've got 2 hours of
Yeah.
material.
You're like, I don't even think you need to do the tennis ball thing with him. Just follow his eyes and you got it. Right. So like I think like it's gonna have the great one-liners, a lot of fun in it. I think this will also prove for John Krasinski if he's not a I don't want to say he's a fluke. I think John Krasinski is very talented and everything. But this is the besides A Quiet Place, the really first big thing he's doing outside of that, where he's writing and directing something that's new. I hope it does well for that because I'm a big fan of him too, and I want him to do more things in this world of directing and creating original things. That's another exciting thing. It's an original IP, you know. It's not a reboot and not a remake. It's not a superhero franchise, you know. That has me excited too, just to have something new and everything and cute. Like it kind of makes me think of like the NeverEnding Story. That's the kind of feel I get from it. Just the idea of going into this world, you know, of make believe and everything, and then how it plays off of the real world and everything. I think there could be something really fun and something to learn from, a nice little lesson in there.
Coming in that same weekend, the exact opposite of original IP, we have Strangers, Chapter One. This is going to be a horror, of course. This is directed by Rennie Harlan, who, has a lot of his bigger hits are older, kind of the 90s. So we got Deep Blue Sea, Die Hard 2, Cliffhanger. And then we got like The Exorcist, The Beginning, that he did. So. It stars Madeline Pesch, Froy Gutierrez, Gabrielle Basso, Rachel Chenton, and Emma Horvath. So this is actually, I originally I thought it was going to be a remake. When it was first announced, people were talking about it like a remake or a reboot, but it seems actually it's a prequel to the original movie, and it's going to be the first of a trilogy. So it's going to be like a trilogy prequel. So there's going to be three more. And I believe all three, or at least two of them, were filmed consecutively. So it's already filmed and ready to go. So people were wondering, like, are they going to release them both in the same year? Or even all three, because they're going to be done. Kind of how Netflix did with Fear Street, where they had all three movies recorded and done. But they released it every other week, so you've got the whole trilogy in about a month and a half. So I am, curious how that's going to come out. You must be confident in your idea if you're filming multiple movies at one time. But I think they're actually going to do a yearly release, so they'll take their 3 years to release these overall. With that, the plot isn't too far off from the original movie that we got. After a car breaks down, a young couple are forced to, spend a night in a remote cabin when three masked strangers show up and begin to terrorize them. So very similar concept to what we got from the original. What were your thoughts on this watching the trailer?
It gave similar vibes, honestly, to like the original Strangers films, which I think the first one was probably the best one of the bunch. I did enjoy that one. I probably wait for streaming on this one, to be honest. Nothing about it really jumped out at me where it's just like, oh, yeah, I want to see this. If anything, like some of these movies are at a place now with me where it's like, all right, how are these two people who look like some suburbanites gonna really stop these backwood hillbillies who know what they're doing, who have probably done this multiple times? You know, I just can't picture how they would truly survive. It would just have to be pure dumb luck. It also gives me the vibes of like where like the whole town could be in on it, kind of thing. You know, like you see that the sheriff or whatever officer person who's played by Richard Brake. Like I saw him in there. It's like he's a bad guy. It's like he's never a good guy. Like, and if he's on the law, you're dead, right? Just give up now. Just
There are those actors
Yeah.
You see their face and you're automatically like, you're gonna do something.
Yeah.
You're definitely the villain. I don't trust you. He's got they got those faces and they've had those roles in the past.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a positive for them. You know, they sold being the villain so well that you automatically think they're the villain.
Yeah, it's almost a job security situation. But yeah,
Yeah.
besides that, like nothing about it really screamed like I gotta watch it immediately. But like, you know, we always say it's a horror film. We want to see more horror. I also want to see good horror, so.
Sure. I like the original Strangers. I was not a fan of the second one, but I did like the first one. The first one, it felt creepy and it, a lot of tension. The tension was well done in it. You know, the whole because you were home was a line that hit hard in that
Yeah.
first one when I saw it, because like I feel sometimes it can be creepier when there's no exact reasoning or motive, because it opens it up where anyone can become a victim.
Yeah.
You do nothing to no one and still be a victim just because you happen to stay there. Like, I feel that adds to the tension as an audience member. So I always felt that line was so cold when she delivered, "What are you doing this to us?" Because you were home. It's like, wait, what? So it's like,
Yeah.
talk about bad luck. This franchise feels that it hinges on a concept that is a one movie concept, not a franchise concept.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the second one didn't work. And then it makes me a little pessimistic that a trilogy is going to work unless they add something to the element. They extend it beyond the original concept that they gave and add a little more, maybe, lore to it. But as it stands, the concept itself, it seems like a one movie concept that they're just really milking and extending it. But as you mentioned, as a horror fan, I'll probably end up watching it not in the theater, wait until it goes into streaming. Then, if the first one, the first chapter is delivered very well, that might change it for the second one, chapter two, when it comes out, where maybe I'd be more likely to actually give it a chance in the theater if the first one was able to deliver. Moving on to the next weekend, we have family comedy, Garfield the Movie. This is directed by Mark Dindal, who did The Emperor's New Groove and Chicken Little. It stars Chris Pratt, Nicholas Hoult, Samuel Jackson, Ving Rhames, Hannah Waddingham. Basically, Garfield is
And
reunited with
Snoop
his young.
Dogg
Oh, and Snoopy. Yep. Snoop.
as
Gotta have Snoop Dogg in a
a cat.
movie. Yes. Well, that's from his Snoop Lion days. You know,
Oh,
he was a little, he was feline. So,
yeah.
well, Garfield's reunited with his long lost father, a scruffy street cat who brings him in a high stake heist. So, I'm gonna be honest, while I didn't dislike Garfield, I was never really a huge fan of Garfield. It just kind of is what it is. It just never appealed to me. And I really didn't hear people clamoring for another one of these, to be
Yeah.
honest. I don't think I ever spoke to one person who was like, you know what I need? I really need another Garfield movie. So I don't know where it came from, but it is what it is. You know, that being said, it looks like it could be a good movie for kids. You know, it has that Minions type humor. So it looks like you could bring your kids to it. And then, you know, if you're a fan of the Garfield series, it can bring a little bit of that nostalgia of seeing that character while the kids are also entertained when they're going there. I think I'm not the demographic for this one, not being a huge fan of the original IP and also not being a kid. So I feel this is a no for me. What were your thoughts on this one?
See, I'm the opposite. I loved Garfield as a kid. I used to read the Sunday comics of it. I loved watching the cartoon. I even had like the Christmas special of Garfield growing up. That being said, I was never been a big fan of the live adaptations. Even though I thought Bill Murray as the voice, perfect. He made sense to do that voice. There's a certain tone and demeanor to it that he just nailed. And I saw the trailer for this and I liked that it was animated, so it's like, all right, at least you're animating it. That's cool. Like you said, it has that Minions feel. So that I think that nice childness and quirkiness is there, which is needed. But that voice, man, this is like Super
You don't
Mario
like
Brothers all
Mario
over
voicing
again.
it?
It's the same thing all over again. It's like, what the hell? Like, why do we still have Chris Pratt in these freaking roles? Like, I like Chris Pratt. He's very funny. He shouldn't do everything. Like, why is he doing everything? It doesn't make any sense. It just boggles my mind. Like, I'm watching this whole trailer. It's like, at no time does he sound like Garfield. It sounds like Chris Pratt. Garfield has, like, they even say it in the trailer, the sarcasm. It's like, yeah, he's super sarcastic, but he's also just like that. His thing is just very aloof. I'm like, oh, I don't care. You know,
Yeah.
like, it's almost emotionless
He's
with
Bill
how he
Murray,
is. Yeah,
isn't
he's
it?
Bill Murray. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is not who he is. This is not Garfield. And know what it gave me to? Like, I don't know if you remember the other cartoon that competed with Garfield in like the 80s, 90s, which was Heathcliff.
Yeah, I remember
That's
Heathcliff.
what this feels like. It feels like it's going on a Heathcliff adventure, because Heathcliff would go that on those kind of journeys of like gutter cats or whatever. And there's like l certain levels of aristocrats and everything within the pet them.
It is hard picturing Garfield being willing to leave his house for
Yeah.
anything, especially a heist. He'd be like, "Nah, I'm good." But does feel weird. I don't
Yeah.
know. I probably won't be watching this.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'll watch it when it comes to streaming. Maybe I will if it, like, there's nothing else on board. But I'm not going to the theater for this one. Like, there's a lot of aspects of it story-wise that I'm just like, this isn't Garfield. This is not a thing that he would go. Like, the only reason I could see him going on a journey, and this could be more interesting for a person who knows more Garfield stuff and likes Garfield. Where's Nermal? Nermal, the cat that he always ships off to like Abu Dhabi. Like, it'd be interesting if he had to actually go to Abu Dhabi and find Nermal and bring her back because something important with the owner or whatever, or he finds that they're actually brother and sister. Like, then that could be something there. But the thing with the dad and all this other stuff, I'm just like, I don't care.
You mean you never sat back and be like, you know what? I really want to know about Garfield's dad. Well, coming out that same weekend, we have an action adventure, Furiosa, a Mad Max story. This is directed by George Miller, who did the original Mad Maxes. He did Mad Max Fury Road. It stars Chris Hemsworth and Anya Taylor-Joy in this. So this is a prequel spin-off of Fury Road. So this kind of serves as the origin story for the Furiosa character. Furiosa falls into the hands of a warlord. She gets caught up in the war between him and another tyrant, while she also tries to find her way back home. That's a general concept of this one. George Miller knows this world. He's done all these movies. He knows this world like the back of his hand. So that alone gives me confidence. You know, you're not having someone else come in here trying to adapt the world differently. You know, it should stay true to what that world is, which is a good thing because it's a fun world. You know, what adds more confidence is the involvement of Anya Taylor-Joy. You know, we've spoken here on Nas many times. We're big fans of, you know, Anya Taylor-Joy, and I'm sure she's gonna kill her performance. You know, Mad Max has always been chaotic fun. And this looks like it's going down that same path. If this can at least be on par with Fury Road, I'm on board. And I feel like it's gonna be a highly entertaining movie, you know, kind of revisiting that world. What were your thoughts on this one?
Same thoughts. I'm really excited to see Chris Hemsworth as a bad guy. You know,
Yeah.
anytime you get these actors who are known for just being heroes and stuff, and then they kind of take that turn, you usually get something really amazing out of that, and there's usually a gem of a performance. I think we're gonna see that here. Like, this doesn't seem like anything we've ever seen him do before. Plus, being, you know, he's an Aussie, and Mad Max is known to be in that Aussie world. That's where it derives from. So there must be something great about, you know, going back home. Granted, I don't know if it's filmed over there. I say that, you know, as if that's where it is, but
What's the
that's
tax
what
breaks over there? They got good
I,
tax break for movies.
right. It's just that when I think of Mad Max, that's the world, that's the location I think of because of it, you
Yeah.
know. So there's something special there. I have seen a lot of hubbub online where people are not excited for how this one looks compared to Fury Road. They're like, oh, this looks too CG, it doesn't look as good, like he's phoning it in. I'll be honest, I've seen the trailers so many times and different trailers, I'm not seeing it. Like, certain parts sure look maybe a little more brighter than the other one, but I'm okay with that. Like, this still looks just as bombastic as the first one. I think this is still going to be like huge in your face scenes where, like, I'm going to want to see this on the big screen. There were so many moments in Fury Road. I was like, I'm so glad I watched this in theaters and not at home. because not that it wouldn't be fun at home, there's just certain sounds and feelings you want in the theater for this kind of movies, where like you want to have that big boom in the side of your ear, or just see the massive vehicle that's just charging at you with all this chaos. Like I'm
Wait, sand
super
off
excited
my
for that.
face.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see how she lost her arm. Hopefully it's not in some stupid way.
I imagine. Oh, yeah. And I feel it's a good decision. If you're, of course, you have to recast because of the age difference since we're doing the origin stories. So if you're going to have someone replace Charlize Theron, you need talented star power. And Anya was a good choice. To do that, someone who's just as capable of pulling off this character as Charlize Theron was. That busy weekend, also coming out that weekend to Netflix, we have a sci-fi called Atlas. This is directed by Brad Peyton, who did San Andreas and Rampage, two movies that were not amazing, but they were fun films to watch. I think he also did one of the Journeys to the Center of the Earth. So he has some obsession with. I'm surprised The Rock isn't in this
I
one
was like, so The Rock
because
was
he's
someone he's worked with a
pretty much
lot.
all those movies. So I don't know if we'll see a Rock appearance, but it stars Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo, Jenny from the Block, whatever name you want to give her, Lana Parrilla, Simu Liu, Sterling K. Brown, and Mark Strong. Basically, it takes place in the future. A data analyst with a deep distrust of AI finds herself, stranded, and her only hope of accomplishing her mission and capturing a renegade robot is to rely on an AI that's in her suit to help her, and then partnering up together. What were your thoughts watching this trailer?
I'm not super excited for this one. The trailer, especially most of the trailer is just her in her suit, and we're getting like that Iron Man view, you know what I mean? Like where you're in the suit with them. But this is a huge mech suit, so you're getting, and it's J-Lo, so you don't want to see her face. You guys see more full body. Seems like it's just a lot of banter between her and the AI, which I will note, the AI is voiced by Gregory James Cohen, the guy who played VelociPastor.
Oh no.
The reason this is important to me is because I'm looking at this guy. I was like, because I heard the voice. I was like, his voice sounds familiar, but who is this? I was expecting to see some big name actor, because anytime there's voice acting, they gotta have a name. But they went the other route and they got someone that no one knows. And I saw
Could have
that
gone with Chris
credit.
Pratt.
They probably wanted him but couldn't afford him now. But I saw him. I was like, good for him, man. Getting out of that VelociPastor role and doing some other things.
Moving on
Moving
up.
on. But otherwise, yeah, like this movie just didn't, there was nothing that appealed to me. It was too bad because at first there could have been something interesting. It almost could have had some Blade Runner-esque kind of feels with Simu Liu's character being like this AI droid thing that seems to be a killer, probably has feelings and thoughts of his own. That's always something interesting there in that storyline. But it's not going to be that. This is a J Jennifer Lopez vehicle for her to just be J Lo and do her thing. I think it's, I love J Lo in some aspects, but this doesn't seem like one of those movies that I'm like, yeah, all right, J Lo, machines. No.
Yeah, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. This does not look good.
No.
I simply say it just does not look good. The attempts of humor in the trailer just really didn't stick. J-Lo interacting with a monotone AI for an entire movie really does not sell me on giving this a chance. If there's one positive to take out of this, it's on Netflix, so you don't have to pay for it. So I feel like if you're really bored and there's something to watch, that might be when I give this a try, but nothing in there sold me at all. In fact, it did the opposite. A lot of things in there sold me on not watching it. So I probably will not be checking this out unless I'm very bored and I've exhausted everything else that I need to see at that point in time.
Very true. And I will say, in all fairness, there could be an interesting, cool movie in here, but whoever cut this trailer was too focused on showing J-Lo in the suit.
True. And then the last movie that we have here on our list, also coming out on the 24th. This is actually, it's a Netflix movie, but it's going to release in the theaters in May. And then beginning of June is actually going to Netflix, like 2 or 3 weeks later. And it's Hitman. This is directed by Richard Linklater. He did Boyhood, Bernie, Scanner Darkly, the Bad News Bears, School of Rock. Has some decent low-key movies under him, like with probably School of Rock and Bad News Bears being the bigger ones. But even that, those are not like general audience huge movies, but he's got some good stuff. It starts Glenn Powell and Adira Arjona or Horna. I don't know exactly what her last name is, but basically you have like a guy posing as a professional killer, professional hitman, who's kind of breaking protocol, what it normally does, to help a desperate woman who's trying to flee her abusive husband, and kind of finds himself falling for her. And what I got from the trailer is that he kind of lets that cloud his judgment, and then maybe she isn't as innocent as she may seem. And now he's kind of having to deal with those repercussions. That's what I got from the trailer. This looks like a funny rom-com. It looks like a funny rom-com. The tone kind of reminded me of kind of like Out of Sight, where you have like this like high like tension between two characters who are on opposite sides of kind of the law, and you mix in some humor there. But that type of concept relies on heavy chemistry between the characters, which were Out of Sight we kind of got from Clooney and J-Lo, who coincidentally, we were just talking about. So it kind of gave me that tone aspect. I am interested, and I probably will check this out when it comes out on Netflix, like 2 weeks later. I probably won't go to the theater for this. I feel this movie gives a good chance for Glenn Powell to kind of showcase a little bit, because his character gets always goes into in under disguise, like undercover as other characters. So you might get a good chance to kind of see his range as he's playing multiple characters as his one character. So it might be a good showcase film for Glenn Powell. What were your thoughts on this one?
It definitely caught my interest. I think there's going to be a lot of good comedic moments, and I think he's really starting to show himself as a decent, rom-com comedic actor. He has had that one recently with Sydney Sweeney, which did decently well. He's going to be in the new Twisters movie coming out, where it looks like he kind of has that slight goofball charisma in there. There's a part in this movie where it looks like he's also a professor. Like that looks like his actual job. And that he uses this hitman thing or pretending to be a hitman as a way of teaching his students in some way. So I think that's interesting. It almost gave me, in some small way, Indiana Jones vibes,
I
but
could see
obviously
that.
Indiana Jones is way better in the aspect of what he's doing, but like utilizing like that moonlighting thing in a way to teach. I think that's going to be an interesting dynamic for the movie as well. But I think it looks kind of cute and has some, I think it's going to have some fun moments in it. Definitely a must watch on Netflix. I'm not going to the theater to see it either. But Glenn Powell, someone I'm keeping an eye on. I think he's got a rising star potential on him right now.
And it gave that sense in the trailer that it has a chance of maybe getting a little dark with it. In the trailer explains that he kind of let her go, and she actually went ahead and took out someone, and that kind of falls on him aspect. And so there might have been like some manipulation aspect. So it looks like there's a possibility that while it is a kind of rom-com, you might have a, it might get a little dark, and a little serious at parts. So it's not full on just rom-com throughout it. So I am curious. I will check this out.
Yeah, because there's going to be some action in there as well.
And with that said, we have come to the end of the month. There is probably some movies or shows that we might have missed. If there are any that you think deserve to be looked at, definitely put them down in the comments below. With that being said, George, out of all the ones that we talked about today, what is your number one anticipator one for May?
Ooh, my number one is probably going to be in the beginning. I'm really excited for Fall Guy. Fall Guy is one of the bigger ones for me. Between that and maybe Furiosa.
That's a good one. That would have been my one, but to be a little bit different, I'm gonna throw in Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, in there as my choice. But let us know which ones are you guys looking forward to the most. Thank you for joining us for May's edition of Stay Tuned. Make sure you come in next month as we do June. I can't believe we're in June already. When we do June's version of Stay Tuned, I have been your host for this episode, Jose. You can find me at This Is Me Nombre on Instagram. You can find this episode and all our episodes on our YouTube page, and Not a Strong Start. You can also find us on Twitter slash X, which I believe that's become the new title. It's not X and it's not Twitter. It's Twitter, I mean X. That's the title as a whole these days.
And I'm your other guy, George. You can follow me at Nicolopolis, wherever Nicolopolises are sold.